بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Firstly, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send the choices of blessings, durood, salat and peace upon the best of all creation, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The event of Al-Isra and Mi'raj is perhaps the greatest event that had taken place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course the greatest experience that was ever witnessed and physically experienced by any human being. It was this special journey of Isra and Mi'raj, which had occurred during the month of Rajab. At the very outset, let us firstly ensure that our intentions are correct. Why have we come out this evening? What has brought us to the masjid? What was the motivating factor? What was the driving factor? Has it become an annual thing that on the 27th Rajab of Sha'ban, people are going to the masjid? There's a talk that will be given on the significance of the night and the importance of salah. So let us go along and attend so that our presence is felt. What is the niyyah? The most important thing when it comes to any deed is the intention. The intention can transform an ordinary act into something extraordinary. And to highlight the importance of niyyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that niyyatul mu'min khayru min amali, that the intention of a believer is better than the act that was performed by him. The niyyah is of significance. The niyyah is of importance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he studies a deed, when he studies an action, when you present something in the court of Allah azza wa jal, the first place which draws the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the motivating factor, the driving factor, the niyyah, the intention behind the deed. For us to understand the importance of niyyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cited an example. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you have a man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with abundant wealth. Allah has blessed him with wealth, and he uses that wealth in the cause of Allah. He spends for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He uses his wealth in the masajid. He's using his wealth to alleviate poverty. Wherever there's a need and there's a requirement and assistance for his wealth, the person is ready to provide the wealth and whatever the requirements may be. So he's greatly rewarded, of course. His niyyah is correct also. He's using this bounty of Allah in the correct avenues. Allah rewards him for every cent that he spent in that avenue of khair, in that avenue of good. But then there's another man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has not blessed him with any wealth. He's a poor, needy person. Or he has only that amount that suffices for him and his family. But he envies this wealthy person. He looks up to him with an eye of envy. And he has this deep desire and this niyyah and this intention within himself that, Ya Allah, If you were to bless me with the wealth that you have blessed this person, wallahi, I will spend it in the avenues that he spends his wealth. And he's sincere, that's niyyah. He doesn't do it. He doesn't have the means to do that. But that's his intention, and it's a sincere intention. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? فَأَجْرُهُمَا سَوَىٰ. On the day of Qiyamah, both these men will receive the same amount of rewards. So what is the niyyah? What is the intention? Let us correct our intentions for what we have come this evening. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of those people who will receive the reward of an accepted Hajj without performing the actual rituals of Hajj, but he or she can earn the rewards of an accepted Hajj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who leaves his house, comes to a house from the houses of Allah, لِيَتَعَلَّمَ خَيْرًا. What motivated him, what motivated her to come, is to learn some khair, to learn some good. So let us make this niyyah, that Ya Allah, I've come here for your pleasure, to learn some khair, to learn some good, and more importantly, to put into practice whatever will be said this evening, inshallah. Brothers, the night of Mi'raj, or the 27th night of Rajab, should not be considered as a great night. Let us clarify that. The 27th night of Rajab, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has attached no significance to it. And when we study the Quran and we study the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nowhere in the Quran, nowhere in the hadith has Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sanctified, nor did the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in consider the 27th night of Rajab to be a significant, a glorious, a holy, a big night, as we would say. In Islam, or during the course of the year, there are four nights which are declared as sanctified, as holy, as big, as significant in the sight of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An event does not add significance to a night. Understand that. An event. What makes a night significant? When Allah has sanctified that night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has considered the night as a big night, then we consider it as a big, as a holy night, as a significant night. And there are four such nights during the course of the year. The first and the greatest of all nights is Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr. Allah has sanctified that night. Allah has declared the significance of that night. Another great night that we experience during the year is the 15th of Sha'ban, which we will experience in a few days' time. Just over 2 weeks' time, inshallah, we'll witness the 15th of Sha'ban. Many ahadith which have categorically spelled out the significance and the greatness of the night of 15th of Sha'ban. The other two great nights in the year that we witness is the two nights preceding the 2 days of Eid. Those nights are known as Laylatul Ja'iza, the night of prize giving. When it comes to the night of Mi'raj, we do not find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam attaching any significance to it, any importance to it. But every night in the month of Rajab is a significant night, because the month of Rajab is one of the four sacred months in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Minha arba'atun hurum." Allah says, from the 12 lunar months, there are four months which Allah has declared as sacred. From those 4 months, there are three which are found consecutively. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned them: Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, wa Muharram. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Rajab, the month of Rajab. So every day and every night in the month of Rajab is a sacred month, it's a sacred day, is a sacred night. Why? Because Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared it as such. But we use this occasion, the 27th night of Rajab, because time and again there's an argument that is presented that the Sahaba never celebrated the night of Mi'raj. There's no evidence to support that, and that is correct. Those who followed the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, they never commemorated this night. They never remembered this night. The simple response to that argument is that the Sahaba, they lived it. They were part of the seerah. There was no need for them to get together and speak about Laylatul Mi'raj and the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? They were part of the seerah. They lived it, they experienced it. You and I forget not loving it, not experience it. Today, many of us did not even take out the time throughout our lives to sit with the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and study the occasion of Mi'raj. So this gives us an opportunity. It gives us of an opportunity to speak of that momentous occasion and that night. So let us consider it as an educational program. But during this night, there are no additional acts of ibadah that have been prescribed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or any additional activities that we should engage in during this night. It is a sacred night because it is one of the many nights of the month of Rajab. The 15th juz of the Quran, Suratu Bani Israel, or Suratul Isra, as it is known. Allah commences the surah by speaking about the greatness of Al-Isra. The journey or the night ascension can be divided into two parts. The first leg of the journey was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's traveling from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa. That was the first leg. That is known as Al-Isra, that part of the journey. Then from Masjidul Haram, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had undertaken, miraculously undertaken the journey and the ascension that went right up to beyond the heavens, beyond the Sidratul Muntaha, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engaged in an intimate, personal, direct conversation with Allah Rabbul Izzah. That leg of the journey from Masjidul Haram right up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is known as Al-Mi'raj. So the night or the journey is known as Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. In the 15th juz of the Quran, Allah speaks of the first leg of the journey. Subhanalladhi, Allah begins describing this journey by praising Himself. Subhana, glorified is Allah. Pure is the one, sanctified is the one who did what? Alladhi asra, the one who caused his servant to travel laylan at night. Min al-masjid al-haram, Allah caused him to travel from al-masjid al-haram to al-masjid al-aqsa in Palestine, in the land of Asham. Now a few things we would just like to highlight. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Himself. That alone can tell you what a significant and what an extraordinary and what a momentous occasion it might have been for Allah to praise Himself. That I did it. I caused it. Glory be to me. Praise be to me. Pure am I. Who did what? Who caused His servant. Alladhi asra bi'abdihi. Allah uses the word abd. Abd, what does abd mean in Arabic? Abd comes from At-tariq al-mu'abbad. What does abd actually refer to? Abd refers to, you know, that little pathway. Sometimes there's a bush, and people, in order to reach the other side, they create a shortcut, as we would call it, and they start walking over that bush. And over time, as people continuously walking over that bush and over that felt, over that thorny area, what happens to it? It forms a little small pathway. That pathway is known as At-tariq al-mu'abbad. Is known as, the word abd refers to that pathway. It allowed itself to be trampled and trampled and trampled, and it subjugated itself and made itself subservient for the usage of man, and that is known as At-tariq al-mu'abbad, From there we derive the word abd. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the seventh heaven and beyond when he became an abd of Allah. When he developed within him that quality of servitude. What is abd? That my desires mean nothing. My wishes mean nothing. What comes first in my life is Allah. I have trampled myself. I will trample my desires as that road allowed itself to be trampled and walked upon. I will allow myself to be trampled and walked upon by the commandments of Allah, by the will of Allah, by the wishes and desires of Allah, until my nafs and my internal self and my desire and everything becomes subservient to every will and command and wish of Allah, then you are an abd. Totally you give yourself to Allah. That is an abd, subservient. That your nafs and your desires and your wishes and your choices have absolutely no form of preference when it comes to the commandments and the sharia of Allah. When Rasulullah ﷺ reached that level of abdiyah, that level of servitude, that level of subjugation before the commandments of Allah, Allah lifted him, Allah raised him, Allah elevated him and took him beyond the seventh heaven. And that's why in the hadith Rasulullah ﷺ says, "Man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah." If you will humble yourself, humiliate yourself for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will elevate your ranks. In the word abd, there is an argument which is dealt with. There are those who believe that al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, that the night ascension was only a dream experienced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they believe that in spirit and in soul, it was a spiritual journey undertaken by the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but physically he did not undertake the journey. The word abd proves them wrong, because abd is a combination of a person's natural body and his spiritual self. And if it was only a dream, would that demand and would that call for Allah praising himself? You and I could have such a dream. You could have a dream that you experienced Mi'raj, that you went into Jannah and you witnessed the pleasures of Jannah promised to the believers, and you went into Jahannam and you witnessed certain of the punishments that will be meted out to the criminals in Jahannam. You and I could experience such a dream. So if it was only in spirit that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ascended to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would not call for Allah to praise himself. The fact that Allah says, "I did it and I praise myself," for it shows that it was in spirit and in body. In soul and in body, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had undertaken this journey. And this is the correct view that is maintained by the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Allah says this journey took place at night, laylan. From where? Min al-Masjid al-Haram. From the most sacred piece of land, which is the land of al-Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And to where did this journey take place? The first leg, Allah says, ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. The journey, first leg of the journey, transit, was where? At al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine, in the land of Hisham. And when Allah speaks of al-Masjid al-Aqsa and the land of Sham, from this we understand the significance of that land. Today there's much happening in that land. That land is the center, the land of Hisham. The land of Hisham, where all the turmoil is currently happening, where the Muslims are suffering such commotion and such different types of fitan and fitna tests and trials, all are happening where? In the land of Hisham. Though we are experiencing all of this in the land of Sham, the land of Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Jordan, all of that land falls under the land of Sham. What does Allah say about the land of Sham? Allah says, "Alladhi barakna hawla." Allah says, "We have blessed the land of Sham." It is a Mubarak land. Now, you try and think, if it is a Mubarak blessed land, if that land enjoys the blessings of Allah, why is it that that land is experiencing such turmoil? The greatest of fitnas are taking place in that land right now. People are being killed, children are being made orphans, and millions of people have been displaced, and the number of refugees are staggering. And there's a scourge in the fitnas and the trials and the tests that are currently taking place in that part of the land. Remember that land of Hisham the land of Asham, where all this is happening right now. Allah says about it, Allah wants us to draw, Allah wants to draw our attention. There was no need for Rasulullah to stop over there, right? He could have went from Al-Masjid Al-Haram directly right up to the seventh heaven and to meet Allah. But Allah deliberately takes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Al-Masjid Al-Haram. He takes him to Masjid Al-Aqsa. Why? To Masjid Al-Aqsa. To draw our attention to that important land, that Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and the land of Hisham is a very important and significant land. What we are witnessing right now directly affects the Muslim Ummah. Allah is purifying that land. لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Many a times Allah says, tests will come upon the Ummah, trials will come upon the Ummah. Uhud was a test, was a great test upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslims suffered on the occasion of Uhud. Why did Allah allow Uhud to take place? Why did Allah allow the Muslims to suffer on the occasion of Uhud? Allah says, Allah wishes to make the hypocrites known. And Allah wishes to draw a distinct line between those who are loyal to Allah and those who are disloyal to Allah. It's a purification process. It's a cleansing process. That land is where Qiyamah will take place after all. The land of Asham. Where will Qiyamah take place? Where will the reckoning commence? On this very same land of Asham, where we are witnessing these things happening. So Allah says, the land of Asham, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. Why? Why did Allah allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to undertake this journey? Allah says, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ. Because we wanted to show the Nabi of Allah our great, majestic and extraordinary signs in the Akhirah. This whole journey was a special gift for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this journey to take place. Why? To impress the Nabi of Allah. It was all about impressing the Nabi of Allah. What is of great significance and importance to note is the background that led to the Isra and Mi'raj. When did this happen? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at one of his most lowest points in his life. When he just lost his wife Khadija. He lost his uncle Abu Talib. He was repelled, and he was forcefully and violently, he was chased out from a Taif when he was morally, emotionally, physically at one of his lowest points in his life. Allah took him for this night ascension. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِ. To show the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to impress him, to bring joy into his heart. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah says, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sami' and Allah is al-basir. And that is where Allah ends the discussion of Laylatul, of the journey of Isra. The second leg of the journey of al-mi'raj, we spoke about mi'raj, is the second part of the journey. That part of the journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in Surah Al-Najm. In the 27th para, مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. My Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at Sidratul Muntaha, beyond Sidratul Muntaha, Jannah commences, and then you have Jannah, and then beyond Jannah you have the special meeting which took place with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah speaks of it in Surah An-Najm. Tonight we do not want to delve in the journey itself. Almost every program on the 27th night of Rajab, we are quite familiar with the incident and what transpired and the different anbiya that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had met throughout the journey. But I think the most important thing of this journey was the gift that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had received on this night. If the journey was so extraordinary, and it was so amazing, and it was so wonderful, it was such a great experience that no human had ever witnessed and experienced what was experienced by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that night. Can you imagine what a great gift Allah must have blessed him with? If this journey was so amazing, so great, subhanallah, it is something that is beyond the human capacity to even think about it. Can you imagine on that night Allah gave the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam a gift, a tuhfa, And that gift was meant for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the gift of salah, brothers and sisters. And let us understand salah as a gift, not as a duty or as an obligation. That is on its place. But what I should consider salah to be as a gift. When you are given a gift, what do you do with a gift? You relish it, you enjoy it, you preserve it and you protect it, you guard it. Why? It is a gift, a special gift. This is a special gift that was given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on a very, very special moment. When you consider salah to be a gift in your life, it will become easy for you to fulfill salah. You will look forward to fulfilling salah, to stand in before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. And salah is the most significant, the most important teaching of all the Anbiya. When look at the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, every Nabi of Allah, he attached great significance to salah. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Ibrahim alayhi salam, we know the incident. He leaves his young wife Hajar with the infant child Ismail. He leaves them in the barren land of Makkah, absolutely barren. He goes, as he moves far away and they can no longer see him, he turns to his family, he raises his hand, he makes a dua. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ بِوَادٍ. I've left my family here, O Allah. A barren land, no plantation, no crops. I've left them in this barren land. Why, O Allah? عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. I've left them at al-bayt al-muharram. He knew that Allah's sacred house was to be built there. There was no house there at the moment, but he faces in that direction. What does he say? لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. I want them to bring salah into their life, O Allah. I want them to bring salah, to establish salah in their life, that salah should become an integral part of my wife's life, that when I see her, she's in salah. When I open my son's bedroom door, I see him sitting on the musalla in prostration, in salah. When I look at my daughter, she's in salah. I want that to be part of their lives, oh Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam makes the dua. Sometimes today, we are not making that dua. We are trying to make the effort, but more important than the effort, look at another dua of his, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Make this dua, brothers. Very, very, wallahi, effective dua. If we are having difficulty with our children, we are having difficulty with anyone, ourselves, in fact, if we are having difficulty, Rabbi ja'alni muqima salah. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was the one who made this dua. Wallah, make me muqim of salah. What is muqim? I don't want to go into the explanation of muqim, but it means muqim is one who diligently and unconditionally and regardless of the circumstances and regardless of the conditions out there, he performs his salah. That is muqim. Regardless of the circumstances, no matter where I may be, whether it is the month of Ramadan or it is not the month of Ramadan, whether it is the month of Rajab or it is any other month, whether I'm in the holy land of Makkah al-Mukarramah or I am holidaying in some part of the world, muqim as-salah, my salah comes first. When salah is priority in your life, that means Allah is priority in your life. And Allah should be objective in your life. Naturally, as humans, our natural objective, right, should be Allah. What does that mean? Everything centers around Allah. When Allah becomes the objective of your life, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Salati, my prayer for Allah, wa nusuki, my rituals for Allah, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya, my living, everything about you will, when you think of studying a career, what are you going to think of? Allah. When you think of a job or a profession, whatever it may be, whatever you think of, you're going to think of Allah. Everything will center around Allah. How can I please Allah through this profession? Whatever profession it may be, whatever career you may choose, but at the forefront, will this take me away from Allah, this profession, this career, this employment? If it is, then you know what? It's taking me away from objective. And when Allah is not your objective, necessarily, as a human being, you'll have to fill that vacuum. Understand that. That objective you have in your life, it fills a certain a vacuum in your heart, in your life. So you've got an objective, right? If Allah is not your objective, something else fills that vacuum and something else becomes the objective of your life. You find some people, they're obsessed with how they look. So that has become the objective. It's just looking for the latest anti-aging cream or the latest product out there, you know, or everything of the, that has become their obsession. That has replaced your objective. It has filled that vacuum in your life. Some people are obsessed with their kids. Everything is about the children. Not to say that we should not pay attention to these things. Of course we should, but it should not become an obsession. When it becomes an obsession, it becomes your objective. It replaces your real objective, which is Allah. So everything will center around that now. So he would make the dua, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Rabbi ja'alni muqeem as-salah. Oh Allah, make me a muqeem of salah. Wa min dhurriyati, and my children, ya Allah. Wa min dhurriyati. Rabbana wa taqabbal dua. Allah, accept this dua of mine. Very important dua. As parents, always make this dua for ourselves and for our children as well. Personally, I heard from somebody, one parent, he says that, wallahi, I felt that it was solely my duty and responsibility to ensure that my child performs salah and always encourage and I'll always be the one would be there to command and instruct my child to perform salah. And then I learned of this verse in the Quran. And she says that she just stuck with this. After every salah, she made this dua. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. Allah, make me a muqeem of salah. And my children, make them those who will establish salah. She says, wallah, in a few months' time, I found my child observing salah. And I found them coming onto salah. Without me making any effort, they would in fact encourage me, take me to the masjid, always inquiring, when is the salah, next salah time? When do we go to the masjid once again? Ismail alayhi salam, look at every Nabi. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Allah says, Ismail alayhi salam, he would instruct and he would encourage his family, كَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ, that, oh my family, oh my children, establish salah. Allah says about Musa and Harun alayhi salam, وَاجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةِ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ. In the time of Musa and Harun alayhi salam, they did not have a qibla, as you and I have a qibla. What was their qibla? If you wish to perform salah, all you had to do was to face the house of another believer. That was the qibla of every believer. To face the house of another believer. That was their qibla. So Allah says, وَاجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ qibla. Take your homes as a qibla, as a direction. وَاقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Oh, Musa and Harun, establish salah. وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. While he was going for Al-Isra. Al-Isra is the first leg of the journey. As he was passing by a certain land, Jibreel alayhi salam says, look down, O Nabi of Allah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked down, Jibreel says, that is the qabr, that is the grave of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Guess what he was doing in his qabr? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I found him performing salah. In his qabr, and I found him performing salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came past a qabr. He was with the sahaba. And he said, oh my sahaba, can you see who is the inmate of this qabr? They took his name, O Nabi of Allah, he's a Sahabi, a Muslim who had passed away, he was buried over here. Rasulullah says, Wallahi, rak'atani min as-salah, ahabbu ilayhi min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. Right now, this man, two rak'ats of salah is far more precious to him right now than the entire world and whatever it contains. But then it's too late. Subhanallah, I attended once a janazah, and it was at the time of Dhuhr. And the janazah salah was to be performed after the dhuhr salah. So they brought in the janazah, they brought in the mayyit of a youngster. And it was placed in one corner of the masjid. And I happened to perform my salah next to the coffin where the youngster was kept. And as I'm performing salah, the thought came to mind, Ya Allah, look at it. The youngster is in the masjid. You are in the masjid. It's the time of salah. But khalas, gone. The time has come to an end of a'mal. That's it now. You can be in the salah, present at the time of jama'ah, but how much desire that person must be having to come back into this world. And they will plead with Allah. Allah says in the Quran, Rabbi rji'uhun, oh Allah, send me back just 2 rak'ats of salah I would like to observe and then take away my life. Zakariya alayhi salam. فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. The angels descended to meet Zakariya alayhi salam to give him the good news and the glad tidings of a child that will be born to him. What did Allah say? وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. He was in his mihrab, in his chamber, performing salah. Isa alayhi salam. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. As a young infant child, Allah allowed Isa alayhi salam to speak. When he spoke, what did he say? وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ. Allah has instructed me and informed me and commanded me to perform salah. An infant child? Of course, salah was not obligated upon him at that time. But as an infant child already, he is calling his ummah, he is calling his people to what? To salah. Maryam alayha salam. Maryam, what did she say? What did Allah tell her? Ya Maryam, uqnuti li rabbik, wasjudi, warka'i ma'ar raki'in. Oh Maryam, perform ruku'u, perform sajda ma'ar raki'in, with those who perform salah. Luqman alayhi salam. Ya bunayya, aqimi salah. Luqman alayhi salam was not a nabi, but he reached such a high level that Allah has spoken of him in the Quran. In fact, an entire chapter in the Quran is named after Luqman alayhi salam. He's known as Luqman al-Hakim, Luqman the wise. What did he tell his son? Amongst the many advices that he had offered to his child, Ya bunayya, oh my beloved son, aqimi salah, establish salah. Bring salah into your life. Rasulullah SAW says in the hadith, إِذَا عَرَفَ الْغُلَامُ يَمِينَهُ مِنْ شِمَالِهِ فَمُرُوهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Nabi SAW says, when a child has reached that age where he or she can differentiate right from left, and the child can tell the difference between right and left, such a young age, فَمُرُوهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Instruct that child, encourage that child to perform salah. It is your duty regarding which you will be asked for on the day, regarding which you will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. Salah, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, we'll try and conclude by 8:30. Inshallah. Try. Salah is a covenant. Let us go home with this message, my brothers and sisters. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered. He suffered and suffered and suffered. Due to that suffering, Allah then took him right up and convened a meeting with him. That's the only commandment for which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was raised up to the heavens. Every other commandment, there was not any other commandment that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was elevated to that high level in order to receive the commandment. Every other commandment Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received it while he was on earth. But this was one commandment that alone speaks volumes. Salah is your expression of loyalty to Allah. If you want to gauge and measure your loyalty to Allah, how loyal am I to Allah? What part does Allah really play in my life? Look at your salah. Inna awwal maftarad Allah ta'ala ala an-nasi min dinihim as-salah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the very first thing or commandment that Allah had obligated upon the people in as far as deen is concerned was as-salah. Wa akhiru ma yabqa as-salah. And the last deed of Allah and commandment of Allah that will remain as an obligatory act is salah. وَأَوَّلْ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. And the very first commandment that you will be questioned about in the akhirah is salah. The very first question. What was the status and the condition of your salah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا كَانَتْ لَهُ نُورٌ كَانَتْ لَهُ نُورٌ وَبُرْهَانٌ وَنَجَاتًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, brothers, Qiyamah is a reality. I think what has happened today, Qiyamah, the Qabr, Akhirah, Jannah, Jahannam, is no longer a reality to you and I. It is just a fantasy. Death is a reality. The Qabr and the grave and the experiences and the events of the Qabr are a reality. It's going to happen. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. Qiyamah, when you are going to stand before Allah, is a reality. Jannah is a reality. Jahannam is a reality. These are realities. These are not fantasies. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us of salah. He says, "Man hafadha alayha," if you will diligently observe your salah, kanat lahu nur, it will be a light for you. It will be a source of guidance for you. Wa burhan, it will be an evidence in your favor. So on the day of Qiyamah, if you will claim to be a mu'min and a believer, you will have to produce an evidence. You'll have to produce some proof and what an evidence. What is that evidence? What is that proof? It is salah. It's like in this world, sometimes you'll have to present a qualification. You are required to present a certificate or a degree or a qualification in order to prove your qualification. If you want to prove your qualification before Allah and that you are a qualified mu'min, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, salah is that qualification. It is your burhan that you are going to produce before Allah. وَنَجَاتًا It is a means of salvation for you. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the one who does not guard his salah, he does not guard his salah, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ نُورٍ He will have no light. وَلَا بُرْهَانٍ He will have no evidence before Allah. وَلَا نَجَاتٍ He will not have a means of salvation before Allah Azza wa Jal. Salah is a means of solace and comfort, brothers and sisters. Wallahi, the comfort, the solace, the peace, the contentment that you experience in salah, you will not find it anywhere else. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, "Ju'ilat qurratu 'ayni fi salah." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "My eyes find comfort and peace and solace. I experience inner peace when I am in salah." Arihna ya Bilal bi salah. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to call out the adhan, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell him, "Arihna ya Bilal, oh Bilal, bring comfort to us by calling out the adhan for salah." That is what he brought into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you will experience this comfort, brothers and sisters. You will experience this tranquility in salah when you spend time with your salah. In every posture of your salah, perform that posture with serenity, with peace, with calmness. When a person will do that, then he or she will experience that inner comfort that is kept in salah. U'bud ka'annak u'budu Allah ka'annaka tarah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you stand in salah before Allah, worship Allah as if you can see Allah. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى This is known as a level of ihsan. It is the highest level a person can reach in taqwa and in piety and in righteousness. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى If you do not have the ability to visualize Allah's presence, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ يَرَاكَ Then know this much that Allah is watching you. You are standing before Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, "Inna ahadakum idha qama fi salati, fa'innahu yunaji rabbah." When you are standing in salat, you are engaged in an intimate conversation with Allah. That's what salah has got to mean, you know. And when you study the different postures of salah, you know it's supposed to be so overwhelming. When you look at salah, the posture is amazing, beautiful. What wonderful, how wonderfully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the salah in terms of the postures itself, let alone the spiritual benefits. But when a person is standing in salah, from salah, his standing position, he's supposed to gradually go through different levels of spirituality while he's in salah. His suratul fatiha should bring him to a certain level. His surah after that should create within him an overwhelming sense of spirituality and energy that he falls into ruku. And when he stands up from ruku, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and he stands up from ruku and he comes into qawma, it is so overwhelming that it drops him down into sajda. And when he is in sajda, Rasulullah says, أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ The closest you can come to Allah in this world is when you are in sajda. When you are in sajda, you are the closest to Allah. That's why Rasulullah says that when you are in that position in sajda, communicate with Allah. Speak to Allah Azza wa Jal when you are in that position, when you are in sajda. Salah is a means of seeking assistance, brothers and sisters, in times of adversity. In times of difficulty, in times of adversity. Can we now understand why salah was a gift for this ummah? It helps us with every problem that we might have in life. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Surah Al-Baqarah, what does Allah say? Allah says, seek assistance from Allah when you are in difficulty, when you experience a calamity, when you are going through difficult times in your life. Inevitably, every one of us experiences these moments in our lives where we go through difficulty. What does Allah say? استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة Seek Allah's assistance to get through this difficulty, to get through this adversity, to get through this difficult situation in your life. Allah says through salah. Through salah, Allah Ta'ala will allow you to go through this difficult period in your life. Rasulullah says in the hadith, مَوْضِعُ الصَّلَاةِ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَوْضِعُ رَأْسِ مِنَ الْجَسَدِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the position of salah in your deen, The position of salah in your deen is like the position of the head in the body. Without the head, that body is lifeless. Similarly, your deen, there are different organs. Zakah is one organ of your deen. Pilgrimage, the hajj, is another organ of deen. Fasting is an organ of deen. Your umrah, your charities, these are all different organs and different limbs of your deen. And where does salah feature in this body, in this entire, combination of ibadat and so forth? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it is the head of the body. Without that head, without salah on the body, that body becomes lifeless. Brothers, in the Quran, many of us, time and again, we have recited the expression of Allah, where Allah says, wail, wail. Many a times in the Quran it comes, wailul lil mushrikeen, wailul lil kafirin, wailul lil mukadhibin, wailul lil mutaffifin, wail. Wail is one of the most severest warnings issued by Allah. Wail, whenever Allah uses wail, wail means woe, destruction. That is what wail means. May the person be destroyed. So Allah uses this expression in the Quran. Where does Allah use it? Wailun lil kafirin. Allah says, wail, wail unto the kafirin, the disbelievers. Wailun lil mushrikeen, wail. Destruction be unto the mushrikeen. Where else does Allah use it? Wailun lil mukadhibin, the rejectors. Where else does Allah use wail? Wailun lil musallin. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ Allah says, wail to those who are negligent when it comes to their salah. That's why in hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, brothers, if we can get our salah in order, your life will come in order. If you can bring salah into your home, if you can bring salah into your children, bring salah into your family, bring salah into your wives, gradually you will find wallah. And ask those who have experienced this, who did not have salah in their lives, and then they adopted salah into their lives, and they made salah an integral part of their lives, see how everything else has fallen in place in their lives. Bring salah into your life. Let everything revolve around your salah. Everything should revolve around your salah. Your eating, your mundane activities as well, your worldly commitments, your worldly interests. Everything, if it will revolve around salah, you will find that Allah will allow the spiritual effects of that salah to enter into everything else, and everything else will fall into order. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Bashir al-Masha'in fi al-Dhulami ila al-Masajid bin Nuri Tam yawm al-Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, give glad tidings and good news to those who go to the houses of Allah to fulfill their salah in the hours of darkness. At the time of Fajr, in the hour of darkness, you go, you leave your home to fulfill that commandment of Allah. The time of Isha, you leave your home to fulfill that commandment of Allah. You are going out in darkness. How will Allah reward you? Brothers, day of Qiyamah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah speaks of it in the Quran. وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. There's a crossing over Jahannam, and we all know, Allah says, you all have to pass by over it. Every Nabi, every creation of Allah, every human being must pass over that crossing. Allah says, كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. I've taken the decision, it's irreversible. Every human being must pass over the crossing, which is over Jahannam, in order to enter into Jannah. When Rasulullah speaks of that crossing, he describes it as extremely, extremely dark. It's dark, very, very dark, the crossing that is there, that exists. Again, it's a reality. Again, it's a reality which Allah has spoken of in the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you will go out in the hours of darkness to perform your salah, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will give you a light. And that light will allow you to cross over that bridge which lies over Jahannam in order to enter Jannah. So Allah gives you the opportunity to earn that light in this world, which will be of great source and comfort for you in the Akhirah. لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُتَخَلِّفُونَ عَنْ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَىٰ وَصَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ مَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَىٰ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, those who stay away from the Fajr Salah and who do not perform the Fajr and the Isha Salah with the congregation, if they only knew the reward that I give them when they come out of their homes for the Isha Salah and for the Fajr Salah, they would come out of their homes even if it meant they were to crawl all the way to the masjid. They'll come crawling because they know of the rewards. that lie in these two salahs at these special hours of the day. I will conclude with an amazing hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about many benefits, worldly benefits of salah and spiritual benefits of salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, As-salatu mardatun lirrabbi tabaraka wa ta'ala. What is salah? It is a means of earning the happiness of Allah. Brothers, this and sisters, this is what will motivate you to do acts of worship. It must be motivated by something. Okay? A young child wants to perform well. Why? He's motivated or she is motivated by something. What's the motivating factor? To earn the happiness of the parent. Right? A child becomes extremely happy. There's nothing that is greater, of greater significance, importance and value to a child than the happiness of the parent. Yes, you can shower the child with worldly material things that will bring happiness, but ultimate happiness or ultimate joy in the life of a child is what? The parent's joy. So that is what motivates the child, knowing that, you know what, this is going to make my dad happy and I'll get rewarded. This will make my mom happy and I will get rewarded, accordingly. What will motivate you to open the Quran? Nothing else but knowing that it makes my Allah happy. That's what's going to motivate you. Knowing, you know, getting up from my bed in the early part of the morning, performing wudu, standing before Allah, performing two rakat of salah. What's going to motivate you? To know that, yeah, this makes my Allah happy. This makes my Creator happy. Reciting the Quran, this makes my Allah happy. Taking the name of Allah, raising my hands and making dua, that has to be the motivating factor. Nothing else is going to motivate you. If you are doing it to show people, to please people, to impress anyone else, you'll do it for a period of time, and then after that, what's going to happen? You'll no longer be motivated and encouraged to do so. But when you know it's making Allah, وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّ لِتَرْضَى. Musa alayhi salam came before Allah, he left his community behind. And he came rushing to Allah. Oh Musa, why did you come to me? مَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا Musa. Oh Musa, what has hastened you and brought you before me? You have left your people behind. عَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّ لِتَرْضَى. I hurried, I rushed and I came to you Allah to earn your happiness. So think of this verse. When you are getting up in the morning, oh Allah, I'm doing this to make you happy. Only to make you happy and to earn your happiness. What Allah will give you in return, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah says the greatest thing you can ever earn in this world is the happiness of Allah. There's nothing greater than that. Greater than Jannah also is what? The happiness of Allah. That is greater than Jannah. To earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. So Rasulullah says about salah, number one, the first benefit of salah, مَرْضَات لِرَبِّ. It makes Allah happy. If you make Allah happy, you will be happy. You'll be happy in your life. You'll be happy in your home. There'll be happiness in your marriage. There'll be happiness in your relationship with your children, because you made Allah happy. Allah will keep you happy. You'll live happily. You'll die happily. You'll be resurrected as a happy person, and in Jannah you will be happy. Imagine when you meet Allah and Allah is happy with you. And what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith, "Man taraka salat and laqiya Allah Taala wa huwa alayhi ghadban." The one who discards his salah, he will meet Allah. Allah will be displeased with him. And here Rasulullah says, As-salat mardatun li rabbi tabarak wa ta'ala. Little bit effort to earn the happiness of Allah. وَحُبُّ الْمَلَائِكَ. Number two, Rasulullah says, it will earn you the love of the angels. The angels will love you. They will pray for you. They will make dua for you. وَسُنَّةُ الْأَنْبِيَا. Salah is a practice of the anbiya. وَنُورُ الْمَعْرِفَ. It is a light which Allah places in your heart. Through that light, you will earn the recognition of Allah. Wa aslul iman. It is the foundation of your faith. If you have salah, you have iman. No salah. Wa ijabatu du'a. Through salah, you will have your du'a answered. Wa qubulul a'mal. The acceptance of every deed. The acceptance of your charity. The acceptance of your umrah. The acceptance of your hajj. The acceptance of your fasting. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, qubulul a'mal. The acceptance of every act depends upon salah. وَبَرَكَةٌ فِي الرِّزْقِ. You want blessings in your sustenance, you want blessings in your provisions, you want barakah in your home, Allah Ta'ala will grant you that through salah. وَرَاحَةٌ لِلْأَبْدَانِ. It is a source of comfort for your body. وَسِلَاحٌ عَلَى الْعَدَاءِ. وَكَرَاهِيَةٌ لِلشَّيْطَانِ. Salah is something that is disliked by shaitan. Loved by Allah, disliked by shaitan. وَشَفِيعٌ بَيْنَ صَاحِبِهَا وَبَيْنَ مَلَكِ الْمَوْتِ. When the angel of death comes to draw your soul, salah will be there in order to ease that moment when you will be most terrified and you will be experiencing something that you never experienced throughout your life. At that moment, salah will come there to bring comfort into you, to bring to pacify you at that occasion, at that dreadful moment. وَسِرَاجٌ فِي قَبْرٍ. So the worldly benefits, we went through them, right? It's going to give you barakah in your rizq. It's going to bring happiness in your life. It's going to bring comfort in your body. These are all the worldly benefits. Everything that everyone is seeking for out there, subhanAllah. If you go recently, one of the search engines, 5 more minutes, inshallah. If you, you know, one of the popular search engines, one recently there was a study that was carried out. The most searched topic was what? How to bring happiness into my life. People are searching for happiness, contentment, different. It's lacking in almost every person's life. There is this thirst, and Allah has given us salah for that. Salah to bring that into your life, that contentment, happiness, peace and solace. Then when you go into your qabr, it doesn't end here in this world. وَسِرَاجٌ فِي قَبْرِ. It lights up your qabr. It will light up your grave. وَفِرَاشٌ تَحْتَ جَنْبِ. When you are placed in your qabr, when you are placed, what's beneath you? It's the soil. There's nothing but soil beneath you. The salah, remember, and we've stated this on more than one occasion, that every deed that you perform in this world takes a physical shape in the akhirah. Every deed you perform in this world does not have a physical shape. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Subhanallah, when you say Subhanallah, what happens? A tree is planted for you in Jannah. When you say Alhamdulillah, what happens? A tree is planted in Jannah. In fact, this hadith which I am narrating to you was narrated to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he met Ibrahim Alayhi Salam. When Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met Ibrahim Alayhi Salam on the seventh heaven, when he met Ibrahim alayhi salam, there were hundreds of children gathered around Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was reclining on al-Baytul Ma'mur. What is al-Baytul Ma'mur? The Kaaba. You have the Kaaba on earth. Directly above the Kaaba, you have another Kaaba in the seventh heaven, which is known as al-Baytul Ma'mur. The Malaika, they make tawaf of al-Baytul Ma'mur as we make tawaf of al-Kaaba on earth. So he was reclining against al-Baytul Ma'mur. And there were these young children that were playing around him. And Rasulullah asked Jibreel, man hadha? He says, this is Ibrahim. And who are these children? These are the children of the Muslims who passed away while they were still young. And then Rasulullah came and he greeted Ibrahim. And Ibrahim alayhi salam gave him an advice. He says, are you Muhammad? Yes. Tell your ummah that the soil of Jannah is very, very fertile. Very extremely fertile soil in Jannah, but it is barren, nothing there. So tell them to recite Subhanallah, a tree will be planted for them in Jannah. Alhamdulillah, and the tree, when we speak about the trees of Jannah, Subhanallah, when the Rasulullah described the trees of Jannah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the leaves shall be of gold and silver. When a wind will blow through those trees, it will make a musical sound that will be heard, such melodious musical sound that will be heard by the one who did not listen to music on earth. So long as he safeguarded his ears from the music and the sounds of musical instruments while he was in this dunya, Allah will allow him to enjoy that melodious sound of al-akhirah. So the point that I wanted to make was that every deed of yours in this world takes a physical shape. Your good deeds take a physical shape. Your bad deeds as well take a physical shape in the akhirah, which come in the form of terrible things. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَفِرَاشٌ تَحْتَ جَنْبِ. When you are in your qabr, salah forms a spread beneath you. Your qabr will become comfortable. It will be your salah that will give you that comfort. No silly posturpedic or cloud nine, nothing like that. Something way, because it's going to last you right up to Qiyamah. This gives you how much, 20 years guarantee or 12 years guarantee. That's going to be guarantee for. So Rasulullah SAW says, amazing. It's going to form the spread beneath you in your qabr. And وَجَوَابٌ مَعَ مُنْكَرٍ وَنَكِيرٍ. Two angels we know will come to you in the qabr, they're going to question you. The salah will assist you to respond to these two angels. وَمُونِسٌ فِي قَبْرِهِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Once the questioning is over, those malaika will leave you. وَمُونِسٌ. What will stay with you in your qabr? What will be there to keep you company? Your salah. Whatever form, Allah knows in what form, in what shape. But Allah says that salah will be there to keep you company until when? إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. So look at the benefits. In the dunya, we know the benefits. Right? So it, multiple benefits in this world. Multiple benefits when you're in your qabr. Then comes qiyamah and you are resurrected from your grave. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? فَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْقِيَامَةِ When it is the day of qiyamah. صَارَتِ الصَّلَاةُ ظِلًّا فَوْقَهُ وَتَاجًا عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ Salah will take the shape of a shade. And it will come above you, that salah that you consistently observe in this world, it will form a shade above your head. وَتَاجًا عَلَىٰ رَأْسِي It will take the form of a crown that will be placed on your head. وَلِبَاسًا عَلَىٰ بَدَنِي It will form a garment with which you will cover your body. وَنُورًا يَسْعَى بَيْنَ يَدَيْ And it will be a noor, a light for you, which will guide you on the day of Qiyamah. وَسِتْرَهُنْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّارِ It will be a veil, and your salah will be a barrier between you and the fire of Jahannam. You will not even see the fire of Jahannam because of that salah. وَحُجَّةً للمؤمنين بين يدي ربه تعالى Your salah will be your evidence. When you eventually come before Allah, Allah will ask you for your evidence and your proof, your argument that you are a true believer. You will present salah before Allah. وَجَوَازًا عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ It will help you cross the crossing over Jahannam. وَمِفْتَاحًا لِلْجَنَّةِ Eventually salah will be the key with which you will open the gate of Jannah. Where did it start off? In this world. By giving you happiness, barakah in your rizq. And where does it take you? It will take you, or it never leaves you. Salah will never leave you. Your family might abandon you. Your wealth will leave you. Everything else will leave you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there's one thing that will stay with you in this world, in your qabr, on the day of Qiyamah, before Allah, until it will open up for you the gates of Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that is salah. For which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was miraculously elevated and taken to meet Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all muqeem of salah. One is the ameen, one is the effort with the ameen also. Allah must make us muqeem of salah. Brothers, remember this dua. Allah make us muqeem of salah, or Allah make our children muqeemin of salah. Those who will establish salah, and salah will be an integral part of their life. I thank you all for attending this evening's program. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.